good to see everybody again. Thank you for those who came to Sunday school. We have some really special people here that I'd like to introduce. First of all, my wife Esther, if you would stand, I will maybe have her come up and share a little bit. But some of you remember Esther. She puts up with a lot. Then we have Saloma. Saloma don't have to stand, but Saloma is decided to come with us to church this morning, and her daughter is back in the nursery, and they have some more children at home. They weren't feeling well, and thankful for her. And then a special family from Mansfield right back here, Arlen and Dee Yoder and Joseph, and they decided to come over here really quickly and surprise us. They're so much a part of this ministry in so many ways, and just a blessing when people go out of their way to come and be part of this. So I was debating about something, Pastor. I was going to just go ahead and do the ministry, but you know how Jesus waited to serve the best until last. I think I was thinking the best part should be done first this time, if that makes sense. Anyways, I'm just thinking out loud. But I like to preach a little bit from the Word. If you would go to Galatians chapter number 5. It was good to see the Spencers here. I looked at you guys and I said, I'm almost sure you guys are the Spencers. But, you know, I was like, as soon as I say, you know, open up, I'll probably be wrong. But so good to see you guys. We've really appreciated your music over the years. And just good to see everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and get fed today. And I wanted to share something with you that I had been kind of studying, and the Lord kind of was putting a picture together, and I never really put the puzzle together like this before, but when it came together, I said, I've got to share this with other people. And so this morning, we're going to take just about 15 minutes or so, and I'd like to preach to you on fruit of the Spirit. How many of you know how many are in the fruit of the Spirit? How many are in the list? Huh? Galatians chapter 5, if you go there, we're going to... how many... Somebody just name me some of the... from the list. Without looking. What is one thing you know about the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Good. Thank you. Now let's go ahead and look at them, and then I'll make a few comments. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, you want to stand. Thank you. Let's all stand. But actually, let's just go back and read the whole portion there, since you guys are standing. And hold on a minute. I was just going to read it off of my paper. But let's start in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, church, if we're walking in the Spirit, what is it that we're not going to do? We're going to talk about this a little bit more, but sometimes we focus so much on not fulfilling the lust of the flesh rather than focusing on what we should be doing, and that is just simply walking in the Spirit. And then we don't have to worry about that. Okay, so let's keep reading. Verse number 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And it gives a whole list here. These are, this is what we were talking about in Sunday school. Be not conformed to the world. You want to know what the world is like? Right here. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. And in case somebody doesn't know what fornication means, it means sex before marriage. It's part of the flesh. It's of the world. And it's wrong to have sex until you're married. Sometimes things weigh on people in ministry. This has been one of those things. When 50% of the marriages are breaking up or close to it, and then you see all these young people starting out in life and doing it all wrong, and here I am now halfway through life and realizing why so many marriages are breaking up, and I'm saying, why would you make the same mistake? Why? I don't know. We're human beings. We will make the same mistakes over and over and over. Fornication is still wrong. It's part of the sins of the flesh here, but we'll keep reading. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you, church, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Father, we come to you, and I thank you, Lord, that I have been given this opportunity to stand between heaven and your people. I consider it a great responsibility, and I want to do it right. I want to be used of you. Lord, speak through this vessel. Fill the hearts and the souls of your people with courage and strength. And for those of us that are here today that have gotten off the path, Lord, may today be the day when we come back, when we get on the path. We don't give up. We stay faithful all the way to the end. Lord, one more request. I desire, Lord, if there's one person here that is not born again, may today be the day that they will have their eyes opened to the truth and receive it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, for the next couple minutes, I want to talk about those things. Wouldn't it be great? Is that my mic? Maybe I'm doing something. Wouldn't it be great if a person could walk around and have that happen, those fruits coming from within them on a daily basis, even on an hourly basis? Do you know people that have those things coming from within them are the kind of people that we love to hang around with? They're kind of magnetic. Don't you love? I mean, that's why we love coming here, because we know when we walk through those doors, there's people inside waiting to love on us. That draws me. That makes me want to come back again and again and again, because I love to be loved on, and so do you. I love to be around people that have peace. Regardless of the turmoil that is going on in the world today, you will meet them as peaceful as can be all the time. Those are the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Wouldn't it be great to have this list coming from within us all the time, even when it's hard to to live that way. Number two, there's something that I learned from this that I thought was interesting. If you have one fruit, you have them all. It's a package deal. Notice, look at verse number 22. But the fruit, not the fruits. It's singular. It is a fruit that has nine flavors. If you bit into it, you could taste them all at the same time. You can't have one without the other eight. They come as a package deal. There's no such thing as I'm strong in this area, but not in that. If we're walking in the Spirit, then these things are flowing through us and out into the world and around people around us. It is a one fruit. Number three. If you study the fruit of the Spirit, you will understand God better because God is love. God is gentle, he's peace, he's always in control. These are the characteristics of the God we serve. Number four, you cannot produce this fruit on your own because they are fruit of the Spirit. Do people imitate? Copycat? Yes. The world has their own level or flavor of love. They at times can be gentle. But let me tell you, they're not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. It's different because this fruit of the Spirit is from God. We cannot make this fruit grow. They are a gift from God to his people. Just like wisdom, I love the book of James. It talks about that if we ask, he will give us wisdom. The disciples understood it when they came to Jesus and said, increase our faith. All of a sudden, I began to realize that if I have faith, it's only because God gave it to me. And if I want more faith, I have to do what the apostles did, and that is go and ask God, can you give me more? You know, I couldn't lift my finger had God not given me the strength to lift and move my finger. You realize how helpless and hopeless we really are. And then sometimes we would dare to think that we're somebody. That we actually got some power and can do something. I look at Washington. Let me tell you, one day they will realize how little power they have. They have no power but that which God gives to them. We have no power but that which God gives to us. If I can come up here and preach, it's only because God has given it to me, has gifted me, he's given me the words. I'm just an empty vessel that has opened my mouth, and he is speaking. And the same thing happens when Pastor John gets up here and preaches. We cannot produce this fruit. It is a gift from God. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. For years, if somebody would, you know, sometimes when we go into churches, you have these little guys come running with their Bibles and they want you to sign your name in the flap, inside the flap. And I saw where other missionaries and preachers wrote their names, and each one would have a reference, you know. I figured, well, that must be their special little reference, you know, Bible verse. And so I thought, well, I'm a missionary now. I better come up with mine, right? And I thought, well, what would be mine? And then I began to think, well, this is one verse that has always been very powerful and special to me, right here in John chapter 15.
And so we're going to read that. Verse number 4, John 15, verse number 4. Jesus is speaking. Actually, let's read in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purchases it, that it may bring forth how much? What? More fruit. Now, we're talking about fruit, church. Let's not forget that. Verse number 4. Verse 3. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then Jesus says these words in verse 4 and 5. He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth, what, church? For without me, you can do nothing. In other words, unless you're grafted in the vine, you can bring forth no fruit. It's no different than going out and whacking a branch off of a tree that was loaded with oranges. If you whack that branch off, what's going to happen? It's going to shrivel up, die away, and never bear any more oranges. The same is true, Jesus said, for us. You and I cannot bear fruit on our own, but we can be plugged in. When we're plugged in or grafted in or abiding in him, then we will not only bear fruit, but we're going to bear much fruit. How much fruit do you want to bear? A little bit? Just enough to have some hanging on the branch? Don't you love to look around and see other people that are loaded with fruit? You kind of get a little bit jealous. You know, there's a reason they're loaded with fruit. They're abiding in the vine. They're walking in the Spirit. That's why they're loaded with fruit. That's why they can love. That's why they can be gentle. That's why they can be long-suffering. That's why they can do the fruit of the Spirit all the time. They're abiding in Christ. It seems so simple, doesn't it? But is it? It's not simple. Because we live in a world, first of all, that is imperfect. And it's hard to stay abiding or plugged in the way we should. It's hard. But nonetheless, Jesus is clear. If you want to bear fruit, get plugged in and walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to abide in Christ? It means to have the mind of God continually walking in the Spirit. If something gets hurled at you, you're walking in the Spirit that you barely notice that anything even took place because you're so intoxicated in the Spirit of God. That's what it means to abide in Christ. You must let go of every situation, regardless of how painful, how big and monstrous it is, and hand it over to God, knowing that the battle belongs to God, not me. None of our battles belong to us. They belong to God. That's what it means to abide in Christ, to walk in the Spirit. Is it easy? No. No. Sometimes, somebody told me a little illustration, I don't even know if I can get it right, but he said the other day that this mother walked in and was talking to her child right before the child went to bed, and the child said something about, I know we've been talking to Jesus a lot, but I want to see a Jesus that has skin on him. And I thought, that's so true. We can depend on Jesus, but we need the Jesus that has skin on him. And you and I are those kind of people. We are little Christs, right? Christians. We need each other to help us go through and keep abiding and walking in the Spirit. Number five, just like a tree branch cannot bear fruit on its own without being attached to the vine, so a man and a woman cannot bear fruit unless they are grafted into Christ. If you're sitting in this auditorium today and you've never had a born-again experience, you've never been converted, your soul has not been converted, then you are not plugged in the vine. You have to be born again, which allows you to become part of a family of God. When you are, then you can bear fruit. Let me remind us, Christians, that man-made religion cannot make someone bear fruit. I don't care if you have 1,000 rules and you have the longest list of ordinances, none of them will make a person bear fruit. Church rules cannot make people bear fruit. They may depress you. They may make you try. They may make you give you sleepless nights, but they will not produce the fruit of the Spirit. Baptism can't. Church membership cannot bear fruit, cannot make you bear fruit. They're good things to do, but they will not make us bear fruit. Number six, so often we focus more on fruit production than we do on abiding in Christ. You know what I'm saying? That's the third time this week you have lost your anger. Now, what is wrong with you? Shape up and act like an adult. That's what we say. But rather, we should say, that's the third time you've lost your anger. You must not be abiding in Christ. You must not be walking into the Spirit. We cannot straighten that anger out. We can't do that. The preacher can't do it. The counselor can't do it. But when we're abiding in Christ, the anger will go away. When we're abiding in Christ, we will lose the lust problems and pornography and addictions and anger and selfishness and all this, the sins of the flesh. They will go away without us trying to make them go away. When we are abiding in Christ, then the fruit will replace the sins of the flesh automatically. Our goal should always be to stay plugged in the vine, walk in the Spirit. And when we do, then our life will show it, which we're going to see in a little bit. If you're here this morning and you have a marriage problem, maybe you should stop worrying so much about the problem and go back and get grafted into the vine. Plug in and walk in the Spirit. When you do, the marriage problem will go away. Rebellious problem, plug in the vine, abide in him, and the marriage problem will go away, and in its place, fruit will appear. Number seven, turn with me to one more scripture. Number seven, Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse number 16. Number seven, you shall know them by their fruit. Fruits. This is plural and singular. We saw what the fruit of the Spirit was. We saw that there's no way that we can bear this fruit on our own without abiding in the vine. And now we're going to see one last thing. You shall know them by their fruits. Now, we've been told, can't judge. That's right. Can't judge other people. Because we don't see the heart. I can't see your heart. You can't see my heart. but we can see what kind of fruit they're bearing. And so, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, we're allowed to be fruit inspectors. That comes as close to touching as anything, right? So you are a fruit inspector from this day on. Look at words that Jesus said. He says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth what? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." So if the tree is full of corrupt fruit, what kind of a person is it? An evil person, according to this scripture. And if that person brings forth good fruit, then according to the scripture, you as an inspector can say, he's a good person. He has the fruit of the Spirit hanging from him. What is your life like? What is your life like? What's the fruit look like? If I had to eat it as an inspector, what would it taste like? Like the real stuff? Fake? Dried out? No nutrients. Would it be healthy fruit? Strong? If it is, you're abiding in Christ. If not, you're not abiding in Christ. For this moment, I'd just like us to bow our heads right where we're at. No one looking around. Father, you know our hearts, our lives. We can't hide anything from you. And I pray right now that you would reveal the truth to each one of us. If there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, has not been grafted into the vine, then Lord God, I pray this morning they would know Jesus before they left here. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one's looking around. I'm wondering if there was someone here today that would be completely honest and say, "Joe, I've doubted that whether I'm really, truly born again. I don't know. I don't have assurance that if I died and stood in front of God that I would go to heaven, but I would like to. Here's my hand." Is there someone like that here today? "I don't know if I died I would go to heaven, but I want to. Here's my hand. Pray for me."
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, and some dark and cold. And there is a Spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle.